Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cold Hard Truth podcast. I'm Jack Smith.
I'm Shrikar Rajendran.
And I'm Nish Gupta.
And that was a little bit of a disappointment. We did an episode last week previewing the Super Bowl, and in this video, or sorry, this episode, again, so too used to YouTube, this podcast episode, we'll go over our Super Bowl recap and touch on some other topics around the NFL. But we're recording this on Monday. The Super Bowl was yesterday, and it was a good game, but it really didn't live up to all the hype that we had with the great quarterback matchup, the great team matchups. But it was still a good game, and we're still going to bring you guys a recap on it. Shrikar, what were some of your initial thoughts from watching the game?
I had two players I want to shout out, but before I even get into that, Todd Bowles, Byron Leftwich, Bruce Arians, hats off to you guys. That was an incredibly well-coached game, and really they're the MVP of the whole night for me. But I think one player I wanted to shout out first was Tristan Wirfs, because in the draft, I remember that whole process. A lot of Bucs fans wanted to go with a tackle, and when they got Tristan Wirfs, they were able to trade with the 49ers. Most people considered it, you know, a massive victory for the franchise because he was an offensive tackle. He could plug and play. But even with that, there was always the question of how he'd perform. And he had a huge rookie season. And in the biggest game of his career to this point, my God, he had a great game. And the Chiefs, they were trying to get after Brady. They're trying to force him off his spot. But Wirfs, that whole O-line, it was just a brick wall. And he only allowed one pressure on the night. And, you know, it's clear Tristan Wirfs was ready for the moment. And even in a tough matchup. And I think he lived up to the billing of being that game-changing addition in the trenches. And then on defense, I wanted to shout out Carlton Davis. Because I vividly remember in that first matchup in the regular season back in week 12, he had an awful time. I'd say he was the primary guy responsible for the fact that Tyreek Hill had over 200 yards in the first quarter and had three touchdowns. But when it came to this rematch, you know, he was ready and he did get help from the pressure the defensive line brought and, you know, the new coverage schemes, but I think he was great. He only allowed two receptions. He was only targeted four times. He just played very well. It was just, you know, a different type of performance. He got his revenge and it was one that really just set the tone for the entire Bucs defense on the night. So hats off to Carlton Davis, Tristan Wirfs, and the rest of this Bucs coaching staff.
So, you know, while Shrikar's not analyzing the halftime show, he gives pretty good analysis on the game. But there is one guy in football that you don't bet against. And I think he proved it. And that is, you know, Tom Brady. As you know, watched the Super Bowl with a few friends, you know, one of my friends is also a Brady fan, which just great game, at least in my book. I didn't need it to be that close. I was happy with the result. But, you know, looking back on the game, I didn't even get to recap it with these guys. But so this is kind of my first time talking about it with them. I think it all starts from the line of scrimmage. And I think the Bucs won both lines. So their offensive line beat up on the Chiefs defensive line, right? Because both running backs had over 5 yards per carry. And the Bucs defensive line certainly manhandled the Chiefs offensive line. And I think it just goes to show you why left tackle, in my opinion, and I think it's, you know, starting to get, you know, more widespread. Obviously, I didn't come up with it, but I just think this left tackle is the second most important position in football. The loss of Eric Fisher was huge. And, you know, the thing is while people are going to bring up, oh, both tackles were missing, Mitchell Schwartz was gone. They were still fine. I just think, you know, Eric Fisher being out caused a lot of, you know, movement around the line. I think Wiley played a different position. They were just, you know, even Austin Ryder had to move even during the game, I think I saw. So just a whole different O-line combinations. I mean, you're starting your first game in the Super Bowl. Come on now. Like, you know, it's just they weren't ready for it. And obviously they got manhandled. And Brady was, again, the thing about Tom Brady is he will play to his offensive strengths. He doesn't need to throw the ball downfield. He can do both. I mean, there are times where Arians will have him do it, and there are times where Brady's like, no, I'm going to take control of the offense. I'm going to call my own plays. I'm going to get these quick short outs. And there will be some times where he'll throw it down the field. You know, third and two to Rob Gronkowski, that was a 20-plus yard throw. The throw to Evans to get him downfield. I mean, like, there are times where he will, and there are times where he won't. So there was one throw on third down. I think people were like, you had Chris Godwin. Brady, Brady is not going to take those type of risky throws. He knows what he needs to do. He keeps the offense in check. And that is why every team that Brady's been a part of, you know, different Patriots teams and obviously the Bucs team, they have been so much more well-disciplined. And this is the Brady effect. Jameis Winston took a very similar team. Granted, they got more players to a 7-9, very undisciplined. You know, Arians was going all over the place. The offense was completely out of sync. Right. Obviously, they were scoring touchdowns, but also the defense was terrible. It just put him, everyone was in, put in bad spots during that season. And he comes in and literally makes a gel. They didn't lose after that bye week. They didn't lose. He needed 1 week of rest after, you know, losing two games, and they didn't lose and they looked amazing. And then a quick shout out to, I think Shrigar already talked about it, but the Bucs secondary, I talked about it in the preview, right? They have stepped up. And what they did was, you know, they ran cover two the entire game. And, you know, usually you switch up coverages, but just, you know, I think that kind of threw Andy Reid off. And I think Jack can get into it, how it was a coaching mismatch. But again, you know, they just didn't expect, you know, the coverage to stay the same. But the reason why they ran cover two is obviously they protect deep. And since the people in the secondary, right, Jameer Whitehead, Sean Murphy Bunting, Antoine Winfield, Carlton Davis, Jamel Dean, all these guys are so fast so that he can run to the ball. And you can see it if you watch the game again. They were making plays on the ball, and that's because they are so quick. But, you know, we'll talk about the Chiefs a little bit, you know, next, but just, you know, recap on the Bucs again. Tom Brady was, I think he outplayed my homeboy. I thought he was great. Overall, yeah, I'll talk to him about Mahomes in a second, but again, just a great overall game plan. And I'm so glad that, you know, I'm witnessing, in my opinion, the best player in American sports. And I think, you know, it's starting to come around. A lot of people are agreeing with it. So, just a terrific performance. Hats off to the Bucs, man.
Yeah. I remember we were talking in the preview, and I was kind of thinking, I'm going to go with the Bucs, but it's going to take a kind of perfect performance. And I don't think you can draw up a more perfect performance than what the Bucs put out there on the field on Sunday. I think just they did everything that they needed to. I mean, we talked in the preview, and almost everything we said as kind of a key to the game or what they needed to do or what we could see if they were going to win, they did every single one of those things. We talked about how the linebackers had to cover Travis Kelce when it mattered most. We talked about how, you know, Carlton Davis and the rest of that secondary had to cover Tyreek Hill. We talked about how they had to get pressure without blitzing. And they did all of that. They literally did everything that we cited in the preview. And so they really put together a perfect performance. And getting to what you talked about with Brady and Ish, I mean, this is the Brady effect that, like you said, it all kind of brought me back to the quote from Arians a couple weeks ago saying that, you know, he's just been letting Tom coach. He said they didn't do that in New England. He's letting Tom coach. And that it showed. It really showed, because I know we all love Mahomes here, but I don't think he is as much of a, you know, a coach as Tom Brady is, especially for the Chiefs. You saw that they were very undisciplined, both on offense and defense throughout the game. And, you know, Mahomes will obviously learn how to do that and become more of a coach. But Brady, he was obviously coaching that team to be more disciplined. And he probably is the main reason that they gelled over time. I remember talking about earlier in the season how this team, they probably wouldn't look too pretty at the beginning of the year. I think in week one picks, I said that when I said they.
Oh, yeah. All of us expected the Saints to kind of give them a slap in the mouth.
Yeah. We were like, you know, this team, they're not going to come out and be perfect. They obviously had a lot of pieces that had come together. They even brought in Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette, and all those pieces just had to set in. But we said once they did, they would be dangerous. And obviously that happened after your bye week. They didn't lose, and they obviously came together, and they were a very dangerous football team. And that's the Brady effect. It's something I'm going to talk about more in my next video about, you know, how Tom Brady became the king of Super Bowls. I won't spoil too much, but it'll kind of be, you know, a Super Bowl breakdown over his career and some of the traits that make him able to, you know, dominate the Super Bowls over his career. But it was obvious so much in this Super Bowl. And so hats off to the way the Bucs coached that, the way Tom Brady coached that. But kind of getting into the Chiefs now, I know we've all got a lot of things to say, and we've kind of been talking about it throughout the day. That was a bad game plan. I mean, that was a poorly coached, poorly executed game by the Chiefs. I think they could have run the ball more. I think they could have, you know, learned how to beat cover two. The reason that, honestly, I think the Buccaneers did run cover two so much is the Chiefs were not really great against two high safety looks throughout the year. And then somehow coming into the playoffs against the Bills, they really shredded two high coverages. But I mean, when it comes into this game, the Buccaneers just figured out a way to revert the Chiefs back to their regular season self.
It's kind of like a don't give anything deep kind of thing. And also cover two does, it's really well against, works really, really against the sidelines too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when they run these shallow crosses, it's when they run these shallow crosses again, right? Their two linebackers can go cover the floor, cover the field, especially spread out. So that's a little bit of the, you know, football aspect of it, but again, continue.
Yeah. And I remember saying, you know, I trust Todd Bowles to figure it out, because the first time they played, they got embarrassed on defense. But I said, you know, Todd Bowles is a smart defensive mind. This Bucs coaching staff is smart. They're going to figure it out. And so they made the necessary adjustments, and the Chiefs did not. I think that was kind of, just simply put, that's why the Chiefs lost the game, because the Buccaneers made adjustments and the Chiefs, they really didn't make enough adjustments to win the game. I'll let Streetcar get into it more, but very impressed by the Buccaneers, very disappointed actually with the Chiefs and how they prepared for the game.
I have a lot to unpack with the Chiefs. First off, you cannot blame this game on Mahomes. This dude was running like a chicken with his head caught off, like the whole game. 29 pressures on 56 dropbacks. Are you kidding me? Like, that is it's just an insane number to think about. But I don't put this game on Mahomes. I think really what it comes down to, as Jack said, a terrible game plan by Reed. And really, it's just when you look towards the future and this offensive line, the Chiefs could definitely go through a hangover. And, you know, I'm not going to say how hard it's going to hit them, because we haven't even reached free agency period yet. But look, I think this could be bad, because I think Mitchell Schwartz, he might retire. Steven Wisniewski's a free agent. Austin Ryder's a free agent. Mike Remmers, he's a free agent. Eric Fisher. Anish told me earlier he might be out for the whole year.
You don't come back, and especially for an offensive line, you don't come back, you know, earlier than maybe 11, 12 months.
And you don't come back. Yeah, 100%.
I mean, he's definitely not going to be back week one. But I think Mahomes, despite the stat line, I think he looked good for much of the Super Bowl. He was just given no shot because of the O-line. And, you know, when he tried to make plays, his receivers would drop it. So I think Brett Veach, he should definitely spend some resources, both in free agency and the draft, on just finding multiple starters along the front. And while it is true, Kansas City's going to get LTD back, they're going to get Lucas Niang back, it's nowhere near enough. It's probably going to be a complete rebuild on the O-line. And it takes time to develop an O-line and get that chemistry going. Anish says it all the time, but look, that could be a big thing heading into next year. They also need to find some pieces at linebacker. It's a lot more questions than we thought going into this offseason than previously thought before.
Yeah. So I'll start off by saying, I don't think Kansas City should be the clear cut favorite out of the AFC next year, you know, barring anything, you know, special, obviously, you know, Indy's going after a QB, Buffalo, maybe they can get another piece, Cleveland, Tennessee and Baltimore, they're all there. But again, like you said, you can't, you know, I had a couple people tell me, you know, some casual fans who were just watching it, called me and said, you know, Patrick Mahomes played terrible. What, like, you know, what's this whole thing about him? My homeboy did not play terrible. I agree there should actually be some blame on him, because he did miss a couple throws early in the game. He did start off 1-for-7. There were some throws. I think there was one down the field. So I think it was Pringle. He whiffed. Right. And yes, it was a good disguise coverage, but they didn't actually get there on time. So I thought it was a completion that he could have had. But some of the incompletions that he had, and I didn't even get to talk about it with these guys, holy hell, wow. I mean, like, some of the throws that he had to make, the degree of difficulty, I don't think people even understand how you can just use pure arm. There's no torque. Again, I think I told you guys this earlier, right? There was a play earlier in the year against Kansas City or Tampa Bay where he's just moving to the left and just throws it 25 yards down the field. I mean, he doesn't even need footwork, and I just don't know how, but like, he's one of those guys that I've never seen this. You know, footwork is always a knock on people, but for him, he's never had consistent footwork. He's never had a consistent drop back, but it just works. And, you know, against the Bucs, I think the biggest, you know, takeaway was red zone offense. You go there 6 times inside the 30-yard line, and you come away with 9 points. That is the biggest takeaway. The Chiefs, like Jack said, there are no guarantees, and he proved it completely right. The only thing that did happen that I said was a quote-unquote guarantee was Kelce going off for 100. But even then, that didn't even matter. I mean, Hill got shut down. The Chiefs didn't score 30, even though, you know, most of us expected it. That didn't happen. And, you know, like you said, Streetcar, they are not I wouldn't give them a clear-cut favorite to be the AFC favorites next year. They should, I mean, sorry, the clear-cut number one AFC team. I had that coming into this year. Coming into 2021, 2022, I don't think so. And, you know, I think you guys brought up comparisons to the 2014 Seattle Seahawks. I'll let kind of Jack maybe elaborate. But, again, I think Mahomes is just too talented to let this team slip. They're going to be motivated as hell. You know, they're keeping most of their core intact, albeit, again, you guys know how I think offensive line, how important it is. So, obviously, it's going to be tough to rebuild in a year. But, you know, we've seen how teams have, you know, been successful. Again, you know, Seahawks have, you know, made it to the divisional round. I just think Mahomes' talent can get them a little bit further. But, you know, we'll see. But Chiefs, oh, I forgot to even mention this. The drops. I mean, you know, key drops. Tyreek Hill on that first touchdown drop. I know. If I was Tyreek Hill, even I didn't expect that pass to be to me. But if it hits you in the hands, you got to get it. Kelsey, there was a third and 15. Kelsey coming down along the sidelines. Key drop. I would. There was another drop by Pringle near the end zone, and then obviously the one on fourth down, Darrell Williams. You got to catch that. I mean, you guys know the one I'm talking about, right? Where he's falling on the floor.
He's literally parallel to the ground, 30 yards.
You know, we're watching it, right? And we see him throw. We're all jumping up because, you know, anytime he throws it downfield, you know, it just seems like it's going to get. And then, you know, we see these things. We're just like, oh.
That would have been the best throw of all time. I
that would all time. I don't know. Again,
parallel to the ground. For a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Circumstance, you're right. If it was a bit closer, sure. But, you know.
I guess most impressive. I'll say most impressive.
Most impressive. Fair enough. Yeah. Yep. Totally agree.
Easily most impressive.
And, again, I don't want anyone to knock this and say my homeboy is not the best quarterback in the NFL right now. He still is. He still is. He's still my number one. But I hope people realize that, you know, how important the lines of scrimmage are in a game, right? You know, people always talk about receivers and, you know, oh, DeAndre Hopkins is going to make the Cardinals good. Well, their offensive line kind of gave in and they didn't really finish that well. So, you know, football always starts from the trenches and then it goes outside, right? You know, obviously quarterback first, but you need an offensive line and you need a defensive line too, right? So I think that's my biggest takeaway. The Chiefs, they're going to have to work on both. Even the defensive line, they can use some work. You know, really didn't get any outside pressure. So like Shrigar said, linebackers too. Just a weird, it's going to be a weird offseason for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's not going to be a lot of what if, but it's going to be a lot of how can we be back, right? Because, you know, it's hard to, you know, repeat three times as AFC champions. So that's something that's going to be concerning. And, you know, there are teams that are going to vie for them. Again, like I said, there's always that hunted aspect, right? Hunters versus hunted. Chiefs have been hunted for a while now, and, you know, teams are getting better. So let's see, you know, just hell, can't help but feel bad for Patrick Mahomes, though.
Yeah, I saw a Twitter poll earlier today saying, you know, who's your early favorite for the next Super Bowl? And that really got me thinking because I'm like, should I just say the Chiefs right now? Because I know they'll be so motivated coming back and they'll come back with a vengeance. And then I started thinking a little bit more like when a team loses a Super Bowl and when they lose a Super Bowl and they honestly get blown out, it's kind of demoralizing and it really does put you in a hangover. Obviously you talk about the Falcons and you talk about the Seahawks. And while I'm not saying that this team is the 2014 Seahawks, there are a lot of parallels. I mean, sure. Russell Wilson wasn't the number one quarterback in the league when he lost that game. The one where Malcolm Butler picked him off, but people projected it. I mean, he had won a Super Bowl the year before and people were projecting he would get up there, but that loss, they haven't made it back since. And yeah, They've always been a good team.
Yeah, they've always been a good team. But I think, you know, at that time, people didn't expect Russell Wilson. People didn't expect it to be his team, though, right? Because keep in mind, the Legion of Boom was still there. So this has always been Mahomes' team. So I think that's also a little bit of a different aspect. But yeah, keep going.
That's true. But then eventually it did become Russell Wilson's team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they've always been a good team. They obviously always make the playoffs every year. But they've never been able to make it back to the Super Bowl. And so that's where I was really struggling. Like, do I pick the Chiefs because I think they can break that narrative and, you know, because I think they'll have vengeance and motivation will take over, or will they fall victim to the Super Bowl hangover like so many other teams in the past? And you know what? I can't make that decision yet. It's really, really tough to make that decision because you want to think they're different. You want to think Patrick Mahomes is different, but I feel like, yeah, you can't knock him, but he lost a little bit of that, like, you know, grandiose and just like super high, I don't know, with the, like, opinion. Like, you can't knock him for the loss, but I feel like he's lost a little bit of that majesticness as, you know, the most talented quarterback ever and, you know, the best quarterback in the league right now. He still is. Like, he's still the most talented quarterback I've seen, and he's still the best quarterback in the league right now. But there's some kind of, like, the aura around him has changed a little bit. Like, it's, like, he can be knocked down. He can be beaten. Mm-hmm. He can be exposed. Like, honestly, I feel like that offense was exposed that game.
Well, it was exposed to an extent. But again, they couldn't capitalize on opportunities to an extent, you could say. But I will ask you this now. You know, I kind of said this in the preview, right? It was a very legacy-based Super Bowl to a narrative-based Super Bowl. I said if Tom Brady wins, no one can catch him. And if my homeboy wins, he's on GOAT pace. We know one of them happened.
Yeah.
Now, Tom Brady's got 7 rings, 5 Super Bowl MVPs, and he is 2-0 against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. Now, we all agree that if anyone's going to have any chance, that even, you know, a week prior, we all agreed that if anyone had remotely a chance, it was this guy. Do you think there's any chance that Patrick Mahomes can catch up?
I don't, and I honestly feel like it's more likely he ends up like Aaron Rodgers. Honestly, I feel like that is more likely. Shrikar said, you know,
glorified Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, 1 to 2 more Super Bowls for Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly can, like, I just, the hangover, the Super Bowl hangover is a tough thing to shake. And yeah, it was a narrative-based Super Bowl, and Brady obviously solidified himself as the GOAT. There's a lot of other narratives that kind of were shaken up. One thing that we forgot to touch on in the preview when talking about the narratives, last year in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs kind of proved that the league would be in an offense wins championship mode.
Yes, good point.
Now, I think we're back to that defense wins championship mode.
We're back to the defense.
Mm-hmm. And the year before that Chiefs victory against the Niners, the defense won the Super Bowl too. And it's just, it's obviously a back and forth thing. And everyone this entire year talking about how offense is going to win you games and, mm-hmm. and speed on offense and speed to win championships.
Yep.
Look, it's defense again. I mean,
more like speed on defense.
And I think kind of the way you get under that, and I don't think it's either of them, to be honest, I think it's balanced teams win Super Bowls. Balanced.
I think it's winning. I think it's, again, I think it's neither. I think it's both. And it's, again, starts with the lines of scrimmage. Yeah. If you have mm-hmm. both, you've got it. So, for example, right, the Niners with against the Chiefs, one was playing great, neither of them played consistent. You know, they were going back and forth. So Niners defensive line couldn't get pressure in the fourth quarter, right? Their offensive line gave out in the fourth quarter.
Because Bosa was getting held, but I won't get into that. Keep going.
Yeah, it's true. But again, you know, the whole game, we're talking about the whole fourth quarter. I know that was one pressure, but you know, that's what I'm saying.
More than that,
consistent line play. Yeah. I think that is how you win championships. Yeah.
I want you guys to name me all of the teams in the NFL right now that have a good offensive line, a good defensive line, and a good quarterback. Name me all the teams that have all three.
I know you want to say
the Browns. But... Sure, I'll give you the Browns.
I'll give you the Browns.
Browns, depending on the draft, I'd say.
Yeah. Besides them, okay. You know, Buccaneers, maybe the Niners if they make a good couple plays, but right now, no.
Not Niners, if they get healthy, I think not.
Browns and Bucks is the only two. I mean, I'm trying to think, right? You know, the
Colts, maybe, if they get a good quarterback.
Colts, if they get a quarterback, but again, right?
I think the Colts had 2 of 3 this year. They got close. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the Saints had 2 of 3 this year. They got close. The Buccaneers were really one of the only teams with all three.
If not the only. Yeah.
If not the only team. Yeah. I mean, the Steelers had 1 of 3 this year, and that's how they started to break down. They couldn't run the ball.
I would say also you need a fourth, right? The coach. Now, granted, the Bucks, right? Todd Bowles was, when it mattered, he was great. I mean, he had a terrific game plan. Mm-hmm. And Arians, you know, you brought it up, right, Jack, how Tom Brady's a coach. Again, aside from Peyton Manning, these are the only two quarterbacks I've ever seen. You know, I've only been watching football for 10 years. But, you know, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, right, you know, the two that we've seen, that those are the two of our era, right? I mean, just the way they carry themselves out on an offense, it shows. And, you know, you see, you know, these young quarterbacks like Mahomes, and I've even seen Baker do it, as, you know, because I've watched Browns game. You know, they go on the sideline, they're cheering them on, right? They're learning, but – right now, it's just right now they're still too young to lead a whole NFL offense like that, because you got to garner respect. It takes time, right? Yeah. So, you know, Mahomes has grown up with these guys, so he's still the young buck for them. But, you know, Baker, same thing, grown up with these guys, young buck. But like Brady coming into a team, right? Manning coming into the Broncos, they were well respected. They had developed a resume that, you know, was like, oh crap, okay, this guy is here. We need to make, you know, we need to make sure that we're on the same page with him. And right, like just, you know, Mike Evans trusting in the process, Chris Godwin trusting in the process, Antonio Brown, Leonard Fournette, even, you know, even LeSean McCoy, for like, you know, just all these veterans trusting in Tom Brady to get them to where they needed to be. And I would argue that the Bucs are the clear-cut NFC favorites right now. Like,
they're the most complete team in the league.
It seems like they're only going to get better. Think about it. The five guys I named in the secondary are all under the age of, I believe, 25. They are all going to get better. Devin White, only going to get better. Lavonte David is still playing at an elite level. We saw, you know, plenty of pass breakups in that Super Bowl against Travis Kelce. I mean, like, you know, the linebackers being great. Same thing with the pass rush. Shaq Barrett obviously will be a key, you know, piece that they need to re-sign. So, but Evans has already stated that he will take a pay cut.
Yeah.
You know, they might be able to keep Godwin and Barrett. Those are the two that the main guys that they need to, you know, strive to keep. But I mean, just, you know, this is a team centric organization, which is fine. I mean, Tom Brady took the losingest team in all of American sports, the Succoneers. First year, no OTAs, no preseason. I mean, if that's not greatness,
at 43.
I don't know what is, man.
At 43.
At 43, throwing 43 touchdowns. This was the most perfect ending. I mean, you know, we came in.
It's not even over.
No, I think they're you know, again, like I said, I don't know if I told you guys this, but I think the three teams in the NFC right now, it's still wide open, but I think, you know, it's Bucks, Packers, and Rams. Those are my top three.
I think
three.
The Niners.
Niners got to be in there, man. Yep.
I'll say Niners. It right now. The Rams will not win the Super Bowl.
I wouldn't bet on them to win the Super Bowl. Because, again, right, I haven't seen Stafford on a winning team, right, in a long time. So
he doesn't have,
maybe that tells you something about him.
Either. Yeah, I just don't, you know, like, again, you know, I think the Niners, again, healthy scratch. So we need to see it, you know, everything coming back. But again, those are my top three right now. Then obviously on the AFC side, can the Chiefs, you know, get, like you said, Jack, get over this? Because the Super Bowl hangover is a very strong thing. Aside from, you know, I think in the last 5 years, the only two teams that had made the playoffs, there's only one in the last 5 years. And that was the Atlanta Falcons, who lost in the divisional round. In the last 5 years, Broncos didn't do it. The Rams didn't do it. Niners didn't do it. And then obviously the Falcons did it, and now the Chiefs are the fifth one that we've yet to see. So Carolina too.
They're obviously going to compete. They're obviously going to make the playoffs. I mean, they're probably favorites in their division still, but when it comes around playoff time, you're going to have to start to question, you know, where this team is at. But I think we can put the 2020 NFL season behind us now, the regular season, the playoffs. It's behind us.
What a great year, though. You know, just what a great year.
Tremendous
especially
year.
Especially as a Browns fan. I loved it.
Following as a fan and you know, being able to cover – this is the first full NFL season that we have covered for you guys. And so we'll put it behind us, and we're going to completely get into off-season content now, starting with maybe the biggest off-season item right now at the moment, which is Carson Wentz is rumored to be traded very soon, and there's a lot of rumors coming out about the Bears. Shrikar, we'll let you start on it. You know, what do you think about all these rumors going on right now?
Yeah, so the Bears, they've been heavily linked to Wentz. Some outlets have stated that the price of a first-round pick, along with Nick Foles, Tariq Cohen. I mean, the players in that trade, I think it's fine, but giving up a first-round pick for Wentz, who was, in my opinion, the worst starting quarterback in football before being benched, I don't like it. I don't like giving up a first. Whether, you know, the Bears or another team like the Colts is willing to give up such a high pick, I think that those teams would be better off checking in on Sam Darnold. I think Darnold could get, you know, a late first, early second. I don't think it should be that much, but of course the QB price tag is always going to be big. So my question to you guys, so why not take a flyer on Darnold? He's 5 years younger than Wentz. He's a lot cheaper. He might have the more significant upside. That's my question. Would you go Darnold over Wentz?
I love how it's, you know, Jack's favorite quarterback, and then one of my favorites.
Up for a reason,
it's
man.
Not my favorite. So If you don't mind, Jack, I'll kind of, of course we have to start the season with quite possibly my worst take ever, right? He didn't win MVP, by the way. Here's my thing, though, with the whole Bears. So, Srikar, I think Tariq Cohen recently stated, I sent you guys a report, but he said that the Bears called. So, I think it's – so, right now it's rumored to be a first, Foles and an unnamed offensive player. I would bet my money on Anthony Miller, the receiver, because the Bears have expressed being unhappy with him. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing on Carson Wentz. So – I'm going to put all my bias. I've been pretty objective throughout the year. He has not played good. And I've had high standards for him. He just didn't, live up to any of that. He regressed. But when you say Wentz or Darnold, here's my thing. I agree with you. Darnold is younger. I agree. He would have more time to, uplift what he's done. I just think he's also regressed, and are his mechanics savable? That is the point. That is the question. That is a huge question. Wentz, I think, again, 1 year, but I think Sam Darnold's had three. I think he's regressed since his rookie year. I think his sophomore year he was okay, but I just think, overall, right, his mechanics in college just haven't kept up in the NFL. And I think with Carson Wentz, here's the thing. He has only had 1 year in the NFL where the Eagles have truly said, this is your team. And that was in 2019, right? Because again, 2017 to 2018 was always Foles, right? Foles came in his MVP year, and then Foles, or MVP caliber year, and then Foles came in when he got hurt 5-7 and then almost beat the Saints, right? So those were the 2 years. And then obviously 2020 was hurt. They drafted him. 2019 was the 1 year they said, Wentz, this is your team. And he goes, right? He wins the division, right? Throws 27 touchdowns, and despite, Greg Ward being his best receiver. So I just think, I feel like he needs his confidence back. And the first step is telling him, okay, this is your team. So that's why I think the two places he would succeed at are San Francisco and Indy. While there will be somewhat of a creepy controversy, if you trade for a guy, you're telling him, we want you. We want you to be our guy. That gives them some note of confidence. Obviously, Frank Reich and Carson Wentz have that relationship. Reich has always spoke highly of Wentz, right? Even, after he left. And, Shanahan, we've seen what he can do with, guys like Matt Ryan, who are very talented. Wentz has also shown talent. Obviously, I don't know what it's going to be like after that, down year. But, Shanahan has elevated a lot of guys. So those are the two places I think he would succeed. Chicago is a really interesting one because, will Allen Robinson stay? Offensive line isn't that good. He's got a good defense, but, is Matt Nagy really the offensive guru that we, can see out of those three? No. And I think, same thing goes for Sam Darnold. I think you need an offensive guy that can really sit down with him, work on his mechanics. And, I think this was a really underrated aspect of, for example, Baker Mayfield, because, obviously, again, I paid attention to it more. But there was, Alex Van Pelt, our offensive coordinator, came in, changed his footwork, and immediate changes. So, that's kind of my knock on it. I think out of, Wentz and Darnold, I would still take Wentz just because the 1 year he was given the chance, he's done well. So if you're going to go for him, give him a chance and have faith in him.
No, I think that's some of the best analysis that I've heard from Nish. I guess you're right. The one way that you get his confidence back, you trade a first rounder for him, and yeah, you're going to lose the first round pick, but that's just showing him, we think you're worth this. Right now, after they drafted Jalen Hurts, I bet you he felt worthless. I bet you he was like, the Eagles don't value me at all. And his confidence was gone. So if a team trades a first-round pick for him, they're obviously going to give him some confidence. But, obviously it's no secret. Sam Darnold's my favorite player. I think you watched the game from Mahomes yesterday, and you're saying he didn't play terribly. And everyone's applauding him for running around for 500 yards and all these crazy incompletions and just running around for his life. I've watched a lot of Sam Darnold games, especially with the Jets. That is very similar to a lot of the games he has. Anish, you'll talk about the box score. And when I watch the games, it looks a lot like Mahomes from yesterday. Like, obviously, he doesn't have those crazy incompletions that Mahomes does. But running around for his life, receivers who drop passes, a bad offensive line, but going out there and showing so much effort, so much maneuverability, so much just making things happen when they're not there. And I see that a lot from Sam Darnold, and he's never had that peak Mahomes situation. And so I feel like Wentz is a different story. He's more of a, you know, I just messed up and lost my mechanics and I just don't have confidence thing. I think it's just Darnold hasn't had enough around him to prove it yet. So I don't know what I would trade for either of them. I think that both of their asking prices right now are too high. But if I was going to go for one, I'm obviously a little bit biased, but I would go for Darnold. I think that get him in the right situation. I'd love to see him in San Francisco. I'd love to see him in Indy. I would love to see him in Indy. That'd be so great. But both these quarterbacks will have new homes.
Both of us want to see Wentz or Darnold in Indy.
They'll both have new homes. And I think that, you know, I think they can, they'll definitely both improve based off, you know,
shout out Washington too for Darnold.
Washington. Yeah. I would like him on Washington too. Maybe a less of a fit because not as much on offense, but they'll both improve wherever they go. And that's something I can't wait to see, but you know, that's going to wrap up what we've got for our episode today. We had a big Super Bowl recap and touched on some more trade rumors and previous and you know, next podcast episodes, a lot more off-season stuff coming to you guys. We'll have another episode next week. We'll have videos up on the channel. But, you know, thank you guys for a great 2020 NFL season. We hope you enjoyed the Super Bowl and enjoyed this episode. And we're ready to get into the 2020 NFL offseason with you. So thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll see you next time.